Good Monday morning, everybody. Welcome to our Community Corner for this Monday, the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo. Pat Powers with you today. It's my pleasure to speak with a very good friend of mine, former Webster City resident who now lives in the Boston area of Massachusetts, and the name is Tom Downard, whose father had the theater for many, 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 many years. And Tom Downard, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Pat.
Glad to have you here this morning. So we're doing this interview a few days after the Webster Theater finally reopened, and we're going to talk about some memories we've had about movies. But your father had did a lot of good for the Webster Theater for many, many years, probably about, let's see, as it goes here, back in 1930, 105 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, he was born in 1916, and he started his career in the movie theater in 30 when he was just 14 years old. He started, I think, as a doorman and very quickly worked his way up to be kind of the manager. There were a couple of men, I can't remember their names, but they owned the theater at the time. And my dad was really sharp and picked it up really well. And he loved movies and he loved people, and it was just the perfect place for him to be. And then the theater chain, and I can't tell you exact date, but I think it was in the 40s. There's a company out of Minneapolis named the Pioneer Theater Corporation, and they owned a lot of theaters in both Minnesota and Iowa. In Iowa, they owned not just Webster City, but they owned Atlantic and Carroll, Perry, Indianola, a lot more. And they were very successful in the 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, these were the days that there was no television in the 40s. There was no, there was competition from radio, but that was about it. There was none. In Iowa, at least, there was not a lot of theater, so people went to the movies, and I remember stories about my dad telling me about they had bank nights, and they had promotions where they gave away sets of china at the theater, and they did bingo, I think, and, the theater was always kind of the epicenter of the entire community. And it was so wonderful to hear when they, after Kim and I left in the 80s, that the theater was still maintained, and then the community group took it over, and now, they've done that again through that horrible fire. So I think that the theater is always going to be the center of the town. It brings people together. You can sit home and you can stream things and you can watch cable and stuff, but that doesn't replace having to be or being out amongst people and seeing friends. And so I think it's always going to be there.
It will be, and thanks to the generosity of people who made contributions to the Hero Organization, Tom, and the big work there by Peterson Construction and K&H, it's going to be quite the showplace. And they had the opening back Thursday night in Webster City, and, of course, a big celebration coming up on May 23rd, I understand.
Yeah, that's great. That's terrific. A funny story, I think, that I don't think a lot of people know, but Webster City used to have two theaters. They had a Webster, started out with the name Granada, and the reason it was called that was because it's a city in Spain, and the theater, I've only seen a couple of photographs of it, but the way my parents told me, it was quite the show place. It had, if you've been in the theater recently, the lobby, in those days, you walked straight down the lobby, and there was a entrance to the balcony. There was a balcony in front of the projection booth, and story is that there was a landing. You'd walk up the stairs, and there was a landing, and there was a little fountain, and it was all a Spanish motif, all the decoration. And I think that lasted from, must have been like 1915, maybe, through the late 30s, and then it was converted into the Webster version of what it is today, except that it was, I think it was pretty much influenced by the Art Deco movement of the period, because if you look at the marquee today, it still has that Art Deco look with the sleek lines and the curves and all of that. So I think that's how that evolved. And then across the street, and I don't know exactly when it opened, but it was called the ISIS, I-S-I-S. And I was going to look it up, but I didn't. It's a Greek goddess of something.
Yes.
And, yeah. Do you know, Pat? I don't know myself.
You're right. It is kind of a Greek god name there, Tom, from what you mentioned.
Yeah.
And
but the ISIS was a small theater. I don't think that it maybe had a couple hundred seats, even at that. It was very much like a bowling alley. It was very long, skinny. And it was before the building it was in evolved into what was the Gold Room restaurant that mm-hmm. I remember when I was in high school. We had journalism events there in their back room. But before that had been the ISIS, and I think it was the ISIS from probably the 20s through the late 40s, early 50s. And it was the theater where they played the B-movies, you know, the big Ten Commandments, and those films always played the Webster and then the B-movies. And the second run, a movie that was successful at the Webster, they would play it again in the ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a photograph I just found of the marquee at the ISIS, and it says, a new kind of gangster, the runner, racketeer, plus a movie called Escape from Crime. And I looked up Escape from Crime. It was from 1942, so that's when this photo was taken of the ISIS. And then I have a second photo, too. I maybe can get this to you for the website. It's a photograph of the Webster, and on the marquee is Carol Lombard and Robert Montgomery, and the movie was called Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And that was the only comedy that Alfred Hitchcock made. All his movies were, you know, suspense and
yes,
and mm-hmm. That was quite unique. Anyway, that photo of the Webster was 1940 because that's when that movie was released.
Now we're not referring to the TV series of a number of years ago, but again, this is dating back some 85 years ago there from Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really a funny, funny film. It's, mm-hmm. it's about a divorced couple, and
yes,
it's really good.
You mentioned ISIS. I was just doing some research while you were talking there, Tom. The theater closed its doors in 1954, 71 years ago.
Okay,
it says here, but the building, Heavens to Murgatroyd here. They were the second run films, as you alluded to, but the building was damaged by a fire in January 1927, then it was refurbished, reopening in June that same year, and continued operations until different ownership until the late 1940s.
Right, right. That's interesting to think that, Webster City's population hasn't changed that much. It probably mm-hmm. maybe topped out at 9,000 or something, and I think I looked it up, it's like 7,800 now. But to think that a town that size could support two movie theaters. Plus, then when the drive-in theater opened,
right
in the late 40s, I mean, there were three.
The Corral, of course, that your father had, and that had a very successful following back in those days, as well as the ISIS, and of course, what we're talking about, the Webster Theater.
Yeah, it's a really interesting history. I think that. You know, I worked there, my brother and sister worked there, cousins, and it was a great place for younger people, not just to work, but to have a gathering place. You know, you'd always meet each other on Friday night down at mm-hmm. the theater, and I don't think those days have probably changed very much.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And, of course, as we alluded to, we had the big reopening again for the Webster Theater coming up in a few weeks, which we invite everybody to attend, and an extensive remodeling work over the last year
right.
and a half, Tom.
Yeah, one interesting thing is I was reading about the changes, and I think it was 90, you know, the first Bush was a president. He signed
yes.
in the
1989.
The ADA, you know, Disabilities
yes.
Act. So the way the Webster is now set up with space for wheelchairs, space for someone that could get into a chair, the listening devices, you know, captions on the screen, all of that, you know, never even would have entered people's minds. Back when even when I was running the theater in 1980, I mean, you just didn't think of people needing those accommodations, but they do, and
right.
it's so wonderful that they're providing them now.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking with Tom Downard, whose father was Art Downard of Webster City, who operated the Webster Theater between 1930 for a good 50 years until 1980 when you took over, Tom. And one of the highlights of that same year, 1980, was you had a very special guest,
oh.
didn't you?
Oh, right. I didn't mention, so bizarre. It was around the time that Ragbri came through Webster City,
mm-hmm.
and I was playing the movie The Blues Brothers with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd had a girlfriend at the time from California whose grandmother just happened to be a Webster City resident. She lived up by St. Paul's Lutheran Church.
Right.
And
this is the St. Paul Lutheran on Beach Street, right there, Tom. Or
that's right.
Okay, because there was another one near the old Jefferson Gym, there.
Right. No, the one up on Beach Street.
Mm-hmm.
The grandmother lived right near there, and Dan Aykroyd, at the time, his movie had just The Blues Brothers had just come out, but he couldn't promote it because the actors were on strike. Just like they were a couple of years ago. And so a provision of their contract is if they're on strike, you cannot promote any of your materials because you're fighting the producers and you don't want to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So he was here in Webster City with his girlfriend, and I was, it was like 8:30 in the evening, and the first show was just getting over, and he walked in the lobby. Saturday Night Live had already been on for 5 years, and so he was well known. So he walked in, and we just talked, and he said, "Well, I'm playing your movie next week," and so the whole thing just snowballed, and the Register in Des Moines covered it a lot, and of course the Freeman Journal and. The Universal Pictures, which produced it, sent out special advertisements for the Freeman Journal to produce it or to promote it, and the theater was packed. It was just wild.
Yeah. And, of course, pretty close to home in a way with Chicago there. And they put a lot of money in the chase scenes around from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the big movies of 1980, 45 years ago, that came out.
I know.
Hard to believe.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any other famous visitors at the theater? Dan Aykroyd there, Tom?
I was just doing a little research, backtrack to when my father was running the theater. When I went through the experience with Aykroyd, he mentioned to me that one of the, he wasn't a superstar, but he was a fairly famous actor named McDonald Carey. He came to Webster City to promote one of his movies. And then I have a book about, it's called McKinley Cantor's Webster City, Iowa. And I was flipping through it this morning, and Cantor wrote couple of films, no, three films that I know of that were made into movies. One is called, that I'm the least familiar with, is called Happy Land, which came out, I think, in the 40s. Don Ameche was in it. But his McKinley Cantor's most famous contribution to movies was The Best Years of Our Lives, which was came out in 46. Frederick March and Myrna Loy, and it won the Best Picture of the Year, and won 7 Academy Awards. It was based on Cantor's novella called Glory for Me, I think, and it was about returning servicemen from World War II, and they come back to Boone City. They don't ever say Iowa, but mm-hmm. they come back to Boone City, which obviously was Webster City and
right.
Boone River, and I just read a review from the year it came out, and it was just a rave review, and the performances are wonderful, and it's a great story. The man that is in it, that he was a soldier who lost his arm or lost his hand. And he's a kind of a central part to the story, dealing with, you know, veterans that have come back from World War II, who have been dismembered and lost limbs, and you know, they didn't call it PTSD, but they, you know, I'm sure they had that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And the actor soldier's name was Harold Russell, I think, and. He won an Academy Award for his acting, but he also won an Academy Award for being a hero. And Cantor was the one that wrote that. And so Webster City should be proud of that.
Absolutely. Not to mention another film that has some connection with the Webster City was Follow Me, Boys, which
right.
came out back in 1966, I believe, Tom.
Uh-huh, right, yeah. I don't have the Disney Plus channel, but I bet it probably is on there. As I was leafing through this book about McKinley Cantor, there's a photograph of Cantor with Murray McMurray,
mm-hmm.
who was the Boy Scout leader
right.
back in the day, and kind mm-hmm. of Cantor knew him, and Cantor wrote the Follow Me, Boys. Because of McMurray, and it's you don't think of Webster City being such a literary place, but it really
right.
is.
Right, it really is.
Cantor and Buck Mullenhoff, and just a lot of different people have come. Oh, Faye Lewis, the doctor,
right?
He wrote books. It's amazing.
It sure is. Tom, in these last few moments, do you have any other memories you have of the Webster Theater? So this big comeback?
Oh, no, boy, I have so many. The building itself, I think, was interesting because there's two little shops on each side of the lobby.
Right.
One was the one, I guess, east was my grandfather's jewelry store.
Yes.
My middle name is Fred. His name was Fred Downard, and he was a jeweler. He moved from Ringo, southeast Iowa, and opened that probably 1910. And it was there for a long time. And then another jeweler was there. And then the Gilberts were there for 10 years or more. And then on the other side was a barbershop. And when I was a boy, I always got my hair cut there. And Keith
mm-hmm.
Mullins was the barber who ran it. And then after that, Doug Bailey and Bonnie Etter were in there with their All Travel travel agency. And the office for the theater was one flight up, and then two flights up were probably at least 6 or 7 apartments that people lived in. So the the whole building has been, you know, populated over the years, and so wonderful to hear that after the fire that they were able to salvage the building.
Right.
Sound like the the exterior front of the building had bowed out, and it sounded horrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and thanks, as I said, to all the people that gave generously to bring back the Webster Theater. And I know it's going to be an exciting time to come for this landmark in Webster City for film entertainment.
Definitely.
For sure.
Well, Pat, thank you so much.
Absolutely, Tom. This has been a fascinating interview here.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Absolutely. Tom Dowder, my guest on KQWC, back with more in just a moment.